Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just 6 days before the events of today's gospel lesson, Jesus had been telling his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer and die and be raised on the third day. And Peter's response was to take Jesus aside and rebuke him, saying, Lord, this must never happen to you. Jesus responded, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. And now, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up a high, unnamed mountain that some believe was Mount Tabor. There are three occasions in Matthew's Gospel where Jesus takes only these three with him. The first is when he went to the home of Jairus and restored Jairus' daughter to life. The second is this account of the transfiguration. The third is the night before his crucifixion, when he asks these three to accompany him as he goes to a secluded spot to pray for strength as he faces his time of suffering. Why did these three constitute his inner circle? Some commentators believe it was because these were the most unpolished of the disciples, the ones most in need of instruction. Some say that it took special effort to prepare these three for the leadership roles that they would occupy in the fledgling church. Peter, the one that he called both rock and stumbling block, was the first to express faith in Jesus as Messiah and Son of God, but he was also the first to deny him. Yet on the day of Pentecost, Peter spoke out boldly. And the Holy Spirit worked on the hearts of the listeners so that 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus that day. James and John, he nicknamed the Sons of Thunder because of their boldness. But they were also the ones who, according to another gospel, asked to sit at Jesus' right and left when he came into his glory. James was the first of the disciples to die for his faith. John is said to be the last. Perhaps what is demonstrated is that God can use anyone to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, even those of us who need a little bit more polishing. When they got up the mountain, they saw Jesus transfigured, with his clothes becoming dazzling white and his face shining like the sun. He is the image of Moses, who had to veil his face after coming down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, because his face shown after having been in the presence of God. In Matthew's gospel, we see many parallels between Jesus and Moses, with Jesus being depicted as a new Moses, a better than Moses. But there is more. Moses and Elijah appear, And the disciples see Jesus speaking with these two Old Testament figures who represent the law and the prophets. James and John are apparently stunned into silence, and I think I would have been too. But Peter spoke up, saying what was probably the first thing that came into his mind, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if you wish, I will make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." "Let's stay here, Jesus. Let's stay on this mountaintop where we see you revealed as the Messiah that we always thought you would be, the one radiating the light of God, the one who is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Let's stay here and forget all this talk about suffering and death." I can't blame Peter for his wanting to stay in that moment. I might have wanted to go further, to erect a permanent memorial on that spot so that it could forever be identified as the ultimate epiphany, the ultimate revelation of who Jesus was. As Peter is speaking, a bright cloud envelops him, and they hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Where have those words been spoken before? At Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, before he began his public ministry. For the heavens were opened and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and alighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The disciples, enveloped by this cloud, hearing this voice, fall to the ground in terror. And Jesus touches them, telling them not to be afraid. They look up and see no one except Jesus. No one but Jesus, who tells them not to speak of what they've seen until after his resurrection. Jesus is to heal and teach and preach a little while longer before that time comes. I wonder how hard it must have been for them not to speak of what they had seen. But if they had spoken of it before the resurrection, would anyone have understood? Did they really understand what they had seen? On that night when Jesus was arrested, when Peter denied even knowing him, did he remember Jesus telling him not to fear? On that day when Jesus was raised high on the cross, when darkness came over the whole land from noon until three, when Jesus cried out to God and breathed his last, did the disciples remember seeing Jesus radiant with the glory of God? And when they heard the unbelievable news of the women who came running from the empty tomb in joy, did the vision that they had seen of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah make sense? Could they recall the history of God's deliverance of God's people from slavery in Egypt, the giving of the law at Sinai, the sending of prophets to call an unfaithful people back into obedience and reconciliation with God? Could they understand then that Jesus indeed was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets? This is the last Sunday before we enter the season of Lent, the time when we prepare our hearts and minds for the great feast of Easter. We will be observing Jesus as he journeys toward Jerusalem and the cross, and we will be asked over and over to make the decision to follow him, knowing that we will be observing his face transformed in agony, knowing that the road to Jerusalem leads to death, but also knowing that death is not the end of the story. Instead, the glory of God will be revealed more fully at the resurrection, when Jesus will shine for all the world to see. During Lent, we will have the opportunity to journey together on Wednesday evenings, beginning this week with Ash Wednesday and ending the Wednesday before Palm Sunday. Starting next week, we will be joining with Union Congregational and St. Luke's Episcopal for Soup, Supper, and Worship. This will be a time for fellowship, and we encourage you to come as you're able and to invite your friends, family members, and neighbors to attend. Each week we will focus on one episode from season 2 of The Chosen and use it for some directed conversation while we eat. Dallas Jenkins stated that his goal in creating the series is to help people know Jesus better and to love Scripture more. To do so, he and other script writers have taken the gospel accounts and, using quite a bit of artistic license, have fleshed out various characters and added backstories to help viewers see the people of the Bible as real people who dealt with real issues, just like we do. When you view the episodes, don't be surprised if the characters are not the way you would have pictured them. I would never have pictured Matthew the tax collector as being on the autism spectrum, but it works. Compare what you view with Scripture, realizing that the series is simply the idea of one group of people about what it would have been like to have lived during those times and been called into a radical relationship with the preacher, teacher, and healer known as Jesus of Nazareth. On Transfiguration Sunday, we see Jesus revealed as God's beloved Son, confirmed by the splendor of his white robes and his face as bright as the sun. We may wish to stay in this glorious moment as Peter did, to stay on this mountaintop far away from thoughts of suffering and death. But like Jesus and those three disciples, we need to come down from the mountain into the reality of a broken world. During this Lenten season, as we journey with Jesus toward Jerusalem and the cross, let us recall the image of the Transfiguration, where God confirms that the one who is to suffer and die, the one whose call the disciples follow, is indeed the one we should be following, the Messiah, the promised and anointed one. Let us hear his voice telling us, "Get up and do not be afraid." Let us allow Jesus to call us to him as he polishes out rough edges so that we may better be of service. Amen. Let us join together.